You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, this is David Siegel, your host for Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com each and every week. And I am pleased to welcome one of my favorite all-time WNBA and women's basketball in general players, because not only is she the all-time leading scorer in women's professional basketball, but we're talking about a person that's got two ABL championships, three gold medals, and a WNBA championship. It's all about the W's, and that is Katie Smith of the Seattle Storm. Katie, how are you today?
Everything's great.
Katie, you know, all you do is win. You know, it's been pretty amazing. You know, it seems whatever you take on, you're getting that championship ring in each of the different leagues. And so now, with Lauren back, it's full steam ahead for the Storm, right?
I really do believe so. I think even, you know, when Lauren was out, I still felt, you know, I think the team knew that if we could, you know, execute and play well, we still had a chance to win every night. So, but with Lauren back, that obviously gives you just another piece that you can go to. And as you've seen so far in the two games that she's come back, I mean, she looks like she really didn't miss a beat. So, and I know she's just working the kinks out, but I'm really happy to have her on the floor, and that does give us a little more firepower on both ends, a little size. So we're excited to go down this stretch and hopefully get a little momentum going into the playoffs.
One of the things that was interesting to me was at the start of the season, you had your injury problems at the beginning and missed some time, and then Lauren, so you played a little bit at the start of the season, and then Lauren goes down. So you guys really haven't played together that much this year so far. But it seems like, you know, you're just fitting in just fine, and you haven't missed a beat in either way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for myself, it hasn't been difficult to transition to teams, whether it's a USA basketball team or different teams. You know, I think I'm a pretty easy player to just kind of to get out there and execute and understand what's going on. And Lauren, I feel, is the same way. I mean, she's a great basketball player. And it's not just a great basketball player in this system. She's a great basketball player wherever she's at. And that's kind of what a lot of us are. And we just morph and do what's asked and what's called upon, you know, every season or every game. So, but obviously it's more fun to play with her than against her. So it's been more fun, you know, this year. And then now that she's back on the floor, you know, looking forward to it.
So how ironic is it going to be when you face Minnesota in the conference finals this year when it gets to that point?
Well, if we get to that point, it'll be a blast. I mean, Minnesota, so, you know, I'm obviously very, very happy that they've been able to have this success, and, you know, the fans, to have them be able to watch such great basketball, and obviously have some good friends there. And Cheryl Reeve doing a great job with them. So, you know, as always against us, I don't want them to have success. But other than that, they can. I'm happy for them. But that would be a heck of a series, and they just had a phenomenal year. It's going to be tough. We know how that goes because we've had a couple large losses to them this season, and we didn't play well, but they definitely didn't really allow us to play well.
Well, unfortunately, you don't get them again in the regular season, but you do get L.A. a couple of times in a back-to-back and a big game against Phoenix at home down the stretch. So those games will all be crucial to the remainder shaking out of the Western Conference standings. But, you know, one of the things that's always impressed me about you and your game is the fact that you really don't seem to care about roles, that you will play, you know, one, two, or three, handle the ball, rebound, do whatever you got to do. It just doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, where I've always been. You know, your role is just kind of, you know, obviously you have your skill set, but you do what's needed. Like, I love basketball, and I'm able to do a lot of different things, but I love to compete, and I love to find a way to win. And, you know, I think being able to transition to different, you know, playing a shooting guard and a scorer my whole career, and then going and playing a point guard, running a team in Detroit, and then, you know, even here, just doing what you need to do. You know, certain games, it's just, to me, it is about the team. It always has been, and it's about winning. And, you know, I want to win. And whatever we have to do, whatever's going to be the best for the teams that, you know, have been on, you know, I just want to be used and contribute to the best of my ability, and that could be just playing defense. that could be making the pass, it could be making a shot. So it's just being able and being ready when it's your time.
At the start of the season, when I talked to Coach Agler, he made a point of emphasizing that you made a large financial sacrifice to come and play on this team this year. That all about winning the championship, and that this was what you considered to be, at least in his mind, the best chance to get back to that finals.
Well, I don't think it was really about a championship. I think it was where you want to compete. I really, we could win, yes, but it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go here, I got my best shot. You know, I'm not chasing one. I thought it was a good fit for me. I have a lot of familiarity with a lot of people, coaches and players. I did know that we could have success if we went out and worked out and somewhat stayed healthy and we played well, that we could win. There's also another six other teams in this league who win a championship. So it wasn't just about, hey, this is going to win a championship. It was more of, hey, this is a good fit. We can compete, and if we play well, got a shot, you know, and that's what, you know, majority of the teams think. But I really thought, and more than just we can compete, it was a good place for me to be.
Yeah, I figured that after the last two winters, you were looking for some place where you could actually have one that's calm after this season.
I know, but it's, you know, I've had obviously Detroit with the team being, you know, given to Tulsa was a shock in itself, and it was something that was hard because we did have a very close-knit group, and it was, you know, that was a hard thing. And then, you know, with D.C., it was just, I had a blast. I actually really enjoyed playing in D.C. and meeting new fan base, being in the city and my teammates. But I just felt like for me going forward, just like tail end of my career, you know, I just kind of wanted to do, you know, I wanted to be somewhere where I thought maybe it would be best for me now and maybe in the future with the fan base, with the organization, and wherever it goes.
A lot of fun being back with Coach Agler?
It is. You know, Coach and I have been, I mean, Coach Agler and I have, I mean, we keep in touch. I mean, he's a friend of mine. I see him during the off seasons. I've, you know, went to one of his daughter's games. So he's someone who I've, ever since I've first played for him out of college, you know, he's been a friend. So I've known him this whole time and constantly, you know, see him off and on throughout the off season, during the season. So, yeah, so he's always, yeah, ever since I met him, he's been a friend of my life.
So now for one second, let's go back and let's start. Now, I'm in Connecticut here, so I'm familiar with the New England Blizzard.
Yeah.
So I'm an ABL fan. And
yeah,
those games and that ball was phenomenal, especially compared,
uh-huh,
in my opinion, to the early WNBA days. The ABL,
right,
was the superior brand of ball. So give me your impressions on what it was like playing in the ABL, please, for our listeners that may not have been, oh, man, I hate to say it, they're too young to know what the ABL was like.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad, because anybody who knows what the ABL or watched it, it was a special time, and it was, as you said, I think probably had the, it did, I personally think, had the better brand of basketball at that time. But it was a little bit more grassroots, you know, not a lot of the, there wasn't much fluff to it. It was just strictly, it was basketball, and we had great players. It was competitive. You just had a nice mix. You had some older players. You had some younger. I mean, it was fun. And the fans were nuts. I mean, you know, Connecticut had great fans, and, you know, we had pretty good fans, and you go out to Seattle and whatnot. So the ABL was just something that I think we felt, just like the WNBA, you just feel connected because you're in it on a grassroots level. And we did a lot of work, and we did a lot of promotions, and we did try to do a lot of things in our communities to you know, promote what we were doing. But it was a lot of fun. And even being out here with the Seattle Reign, you know, you see some jerseys, and you're around a lot of people that are aware of it and, you know, have watched it.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago, I had Shannon Johnson on the show.
And we
were talking about the difference in the game then and the difference in the game now.
Yeah, it's you know, people, yeah, kids have been playing just for a longer period of time. If kids who, you know, are playing organized basketball fourth grade, fifth grade, even younger. I mean, you get in your, and this scene is out there. It's not just, you know, the NBA and college, but it's the WNBA. So this is something that's real to them and that they are going to pursue as a career, and want to. So it's just, you know, it's great for women's basketball, and it's just been fun. I came through on a perfect time to enjoy, you know what I mean, what a lot of people have worked hard and paved the way for, and that's being able to play here in the States and then have like these opportunities. So I've been thankful and really hope that, you know, I'll continue to, you know, do whatever I can for women's basketball as I move forward, and you know, wherever I go in life, I'll always be a supporter and hopefully do what I can.
Now, you know, there was always some good centers in the past, but, you know, in the current lineups and in college, and did you ever, there has never been a center group like this with the mobility and the size, and, you know, it must be nice to be able to sit back and take some of those three pointers instead of taking it down the lane as much now.
Yeah, there's some, I mean, it's the size, the athleticism, the skills, you got Candace Parker, who's, you know, post player slash 2-3, you know, and you got Tina Charles and Sylvia. I mean, Lauren, I mean, you have a lot of very, very good basketball players, and they're not limited. You know, they can shoot the jumpers, they can handle the ball, they're athletic. So a lot of fun to see them. I used to be big. I used to be a post player in high school, but not anymore. I mean, this is their world, and you know, I'm fine with every once in a while getting down there trying to hold my own, but it doesn't go so well sometimes.
As long as you don't have to post up Liz Cambage and
Brittany
Griner when she comes in.
Exactly.
Now, you spent some time in the off season doing some broadcasting work that I will compliment you. You were outstanding.
Well, thank you.
Are you going to go back to the Big Ten Network? Big
8? You know,
many people there are this week?
Yeah, I might. I actually am going back to grad school for dietetics, and I start in the fall at Ohio State. So depending on time, you know, constraints a little bit, just if I'm a little bit too busy, it might be hard this year. But I am actually working for Ohio State with the women's basketball team, too. I'm not sure what my title is yet, but I'm gonna work with them while I go back to school. So, but yeah, I'd like to do some more broadcasting. But I enjoyed it, and really, this year was my, you know, full fledged just me. The year before, I did a couple 3-people crews, so I didn't really have to do, you know, you just kind of chime in here and there. But this past year, it was just myself and the announcer, and it was it's a learning experience, but it was good. Hopefully, as I go, I'll get a little better, but I enjoyed it.
You know, what are the chances of Ohio State suiting up you and Debbie Black in the backcourt then?
I don't know if they want that, but maybe we could be in practice or something, but it's, you know, the body doesn't function. You know, it takes a little more warm-up. But it'll be fun to be around them again. I live in Columbus, and it'll be fun to be around a team and hopefully have success this year. So gotten to know a lot of the ladies, and you know, it'll be good to be a part of it.
And there was a nice article I saw on the Storm's website about your decisions to go into nutrition and dietetics. I think that's a, you know, phenomenal, and it's good to see that you're heading in the directions that you want to go to as you're starting to plan for the future.
Yeah, I am excited about it. It took a while there to try to pinpoint exactly what it was I wanted to do, but I'm happy about it and looking forward to it. I know it has the ability to have the combination of the sports aspect and that, and it's something obviously I love. I mean, I do. I enjoy it. I'd like to be around it in some capacity. You know, I'm definitely not Nixon coaching. I'd like to maybe put my hat in on the WNBA side whenever this part of it's over. So, you know, we're gonna see where life takes me a little bit, but prepare along the way.
So we're not gonna at some point see the Katie Smith farewell victory tour. You're just gonna say that's it.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I can do the farewell thing. I don't know if I can do that. And I don't know if I know. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, this is definitely it, because it's kind of like, I don't know if you know until when it's done, you know, and after the end of the season. And I think that's when I'll be like, I just can't do it anymore. You know, I think before, I think you feel all right and whatever, but I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out, but probably my style is just kind of, hey, I'm not coming back. I'm just not playing, so who knows.
Well, I hope that we have at least a few more years out of you, because there are very few people that are better ambassadors for the women's game than Katie Smith. I will never forget the first times I actually met you. First, I met you at the Jennifer Rosati charity basketball game.
Oh, yes, I do remember. That was a good time.
And I had my daughter, who was little at that point, on my shoulders getting autographs, and you were very, very polite to her. And then she ran into you a second time when the Sun first came to Connecticut, and she had an entire stack of trading cards. And you just looked at it and said, well, let me sign all of these for you. And you signed like a dozen cards for her, talking to her the whole time. I mean, she became a Katie Smith fan instantly.
Well, there you go. I need my fans out there. But it's, you know, that's why, the only reason why we're doing what we're doing is because of the fans. They've given us an opportunity to do it here. And it's, you know, we want to give back and allow them to, you know, enjoy the experience as much as we do, because we enjoy it as much as, you know, having people in the stands. So we're thankful that people they take their time and they give their hard-earned money to come check us out.
Well, you certainly have some of the best fans in the world watching this Storm team in Key Arena, and I want to wish you luck going forward the rest of the way. I think that, you know, when I figured things out, first of all, in the preseason, I picked Seattle to repeat, in part because of your addition. So you got it, you know, and I picked them last year to win it all. So I'm riding a hot streak. So you got to keep
well, I think we could put ourselves in a really good position depending on how we finish up here. I think that, you know, obviously Minnesota's going to be in first place. We'd like to help ourselves here, at least in the first round, of giving ourselves maybe home court advantage.
Yep.
And who we're playing. So we're excited about this last stretch, and we should be. This is the best time of the year. Is this final stretch run, and then hitting the playoffs. So we got some work to do, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. I know how busy game day can be, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And good luck. And I do have, in figuring out the schedule, I've got you finishing a game ahead of Phoenix to win that second spot. And then as Jade Evans and I talked this past week on the show about whether the Storm can make it to the finals, and my vote is a resounding yes.
Well, David, I like it, and hopefully we'll back that up here as we go.
You take care, and we'll talk again soon, hopefully.
All right, thank you.
This is Dan Hughes of San Antonio Silver Stars, and you are listening to Dishin' and Swishin' and enjoying every minute of it.
Hi, everybody. David Siegel, your host on Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, here on hoopfeed.com. Each and every Wednesday, we put up a new podcast for you. Now, in 1986, the state of Oklahoma opened the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, and since 2008, there's been 116 people in there, and they add new people each year, and it's a very narrow selection process where a committee chooses a ballot from a list of nominees, and then selections are made, and there are only three women now that have made it into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, and I am honored to have back on Dishin and Swishin the latest member of the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, Crystal Robinson. Crystal, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today, Dave.
It's my pleasure. Now, this is no small potatoes. I mean, just so people understand, some of the names that are in this Hall of Fame are Troy Aikman and Johnny Bench and Steve Largent, Mickey Mantle, Mark Price, and now you are only the third woman in this group. That's some pretty hefty company.
Yeah, that is good company. I really didn't realize how many great athletes came out of Oklahoma until I got inducted into this Hall of Fame and kind of went through and saw the names and faces on the wall.
It's very impressive. Now, the first two women were gymnast Shannon Miller and softball player Michelle Smith, and now Crystal gets added to that. But, you know, you are definitely one of Oklahoma's best women's basketball players, you know, and, you know, your career, now, you just make a living out of these Hall of Fames, though. You know, first, you know, the Southeastern Oklahoma, then the NAIA, and, you know, now the state of Oklahoma, too. I mean, you're getting good at this.
Well, it's funny. It was when I started playing basketball, it never was really a goal or even a thought in my mind. Who knew anything about Hall of Fame basketball, which is something that I really love to do and excelled at.
Well, let's talk about the your night for a second. Can you tell us all what it was like for the Hall of Fame induction that night?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I thought it was going to be very boring. Black tie, everybody's dressed up. But it was actually a lot of fun. A lot of former inductees were there, and, you know, you get the chance to sit down and talk with a lot of different kind of people, heads of our governor, our mayor of Oklahoma City, a lot of our state representatives and senators. It was just a big variety of people there and a good chance to meet a lot of different people and, you know, kind of exchange stories.
And John Starks was one of the people I see that was voted in this year, too, huh?
Yeah, it was really funny. I met Johnny when I played there in New York, and he's a super nice guy. He and Allen Houston announced him. So I got the chance to catch up with some old New York people that I used to shoot with and hang out with there a little bit in New York.
Yeah, he's a big-time women's basketball fan. I always would have thought that he would be a good coach for the Liberty someday after his success coaching in the CBA, too.
Yeah.
Well,
probably.
So now as we go forward, you are coaching, just in case anybody didn't realize this, at, I'm sorry.
Murray State Junior College.
Yes, Murray State College.
Junior College.
College, right. Junior college.
Yeah, it's in Oklahoma, not the big Murray State in Kentucky. So
okay,
we get mixed up with them a lot.
Well, it just says Murray State College on the website. So that's how I wasn't sure. But and this is going to be your second year this year, correct?
This will actually be my third season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took over in December of 2009. Yeah. So we had the 2009-2010 season, 2010-11, and now this one. So this will be my third season.
And last year was a pretty good season, finished above 500.
Yeah, but I was there. I wasn't happy with our season. I had three starters get hurt last year, and I played the whole year with one post player. We did well considering the amount of injuries that we had, but not satisfied with it by any means. The year before that, we were 20-10 here. So looking forward to doing better this year than we did last year.
Now, talk for a second about what it's like coaching and recruiting on the junior college level. Now, do you look more for the kids that are struggling to get into the bigger schools, or do you look for the ones that, you know, are maybe a notch below? Or how do you go about picking and choosing the recruiting process for junior college?
Well, there's a lot of different avenues that I take. I have a lot of overseas connections, so I do use some of them. I had two Australians. Now I have a Nigerian. I try hard to recruit a couple of overseas kids. And I also look for players who have the ability to go to the next level but didn't make their ACTs or their SAT scores for some reason. And then I have some D1s and some D2s that might send a player to me for 2 years just by making connections with coaches. They might send me a player for 2 years because they didn't make their grade. So a lot of different avenues. Recruiting at this level is tough. Our budgets are pretty slim pickings there. So we kind of got to network a lot.
I assume that it's a lot more phone and interaction electronically as opposed to, you know, a lot of getting out and getting being able to press the flesh in person.
Yeah, well, We drive a lot. I can get out and watch girls play, but it takes a lot of driving on my part. So.
So now, are you keeping an eye on everybody going on in the WNBA still?
I'm pretty busy, you know, with recruiting, and I do watch from time to time. I definitely try to keep up with VJ and Becky, but other than them two, I really, sad to say that I don't really keep up a lot. I do watch VJ and Becky Hammon when they're on TV, but other than that, I'm usually in the gym myself.
Well, you know, I think Tulsa could use you to come off the bench in some of the shooting that used to drive me nuts as a Connecticut Sun fan.
Those days are completely over. No more playing. I play horse. That's all the playing I do nowadays.
Talking to a couple of friends of yours from the old ABL days to this week and last week, Katie Smith and Shannon Johnson.
Oh, yeah?
And we were reminiscing about the ABL a little bit.
Yeah, those were some very good days. Hated to see them coming. The Columbus Quest, they had a great team. But those were some great days.
Hey, you know, Katie had a very good way of putting it today. She said that it was very much grassroots basketball, that you guys, you know, there wasn't a lot of flash and dash. You guys went out, you played, you met some people, you went out and did a little bit of networking in the neighborhoods, but in general it was about playing ball and putting on a good game.
Yeah, she hit it dead on. I felt like the players were so much a part of that league, and not that they're not in the WNBA, but we had a lot of – It depended on us. We had to get out and do a lot. We didn't have a big marketing budget or anything like that, but it was about basketball and just a lot of fun times.
You know, so this year they moved to New Jersey, and Liberty decided that now is a good time to put up a Ring of Honor to salute their past. Now, there was VJ, Spoon, Sue, and Kim. And then they asked people to vote for the fifth. And no disrespect to Rebecca Lobo, but, man, I cast all my votes for Crystal Robinson to be the fifth person. It just didn't seem right to not have you go up there with right alongside VJ and everybody else.
Well, I probably have to say I kind of agree with you there, but, you know, fans have their favorites, and that's just the way it is. I think that in my career, I've pretty much gotten used to going out and being a workhorse and just completely not getting very much credit for my part in it. But, you know, we had some – those are memories that I'll never forget. We had some super teams there in New York. I couldn't think of a better group of girls to play with. But, you know, that's how the ball bounces sometimes, and I don't spend my time worried or crying over spilled milk. Fans are going to pick their favorites no matter what when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I mean, in my eyes, it was you were on that list and Tari was on that list. So it just kind of showed you that Rebecca being on television and being UConn and all, you know, deserved got her votes that way. But with you and Tari, clearly deserved it a lot more than she did, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But, I mean, Rebecca's a friend of mine. I'm happy for her. I guess that, you know, like I said, it's not something that I really thought about a lot. If I got it, I got it. If I didn't, I didn't. So I think, you know, Rebecca has done a lot for women's basketball, regardless of how long she played for New York. Her name and things she done at UConn set a precedence for the WNBA and fans alike. I mean, she was the first really unbelievably beloved female athlete, in my opinion. She set a whole different level for women's basketball, so... You know,
absolutely. And believe me, the last thing I'm trying to do is I didn't want it to appear like I was trying to make, you know, have you say something bad or anything, you know, or criticize. I think that she deserved her spot in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame for everything that she's done. But when you're talking specifically about the Liberty you know, then to me, Crystal Robinson is right there. Those are the big players right there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'm still the only player that they haven't recognized for the Liberty off of those teams. When I left New York, I didn't leave on very good terms with Carol, and Carol basically told me I would never be recognized there, and it hasn't happened. So I'm pretty much kind of the only person that hasn't been recognized for my contributions to New York, but that's life. You don't always get those things, so.
Well, let's hope that the new management realizes the error of those ways, because, I mean, come on, you look at these numbers. I've got them on my screen right now. And there were only two seasons that you were with that team that you didn't score 10 points a game. One of which you had injuries that limited you to only 26 minutes a game, and then you were scoring 8.8 points a game. You know, so your shooting was great. You know, you contributed in so many other ways, rebounds, assists, steals. You know, I, like I said, you used to just drive me nuts as a Sun fan.
Well, I mean, something that's funny coming from playing from Richie Adubato, I don't think if you look at my stat card, it just says anything about what I've done. If you go back and you look at the percentage of game-winning shots that I hit for New York, you would be probably pretty amazed at what that percentage would be. So,
yeah, you know, I would agree with that. I mean, it did certainly, I know it always seemed that way to me.
So, but like I said, some great times in New York. I don't know. That team was, we weren't, every night we stepped on the court, usually, I think the other team may have had more talent than we did player for player, but we played together so well that we made up for everything, and I just think that Richie's offense and his guidance really helped us get to where, you know, we really excelled. But I played with a group of girls that losing just was never an option for Teresa Weatherspoon or Vicki Johnson or Sue Wicks. And those girls kind of taught me how to be a professional, and I'm so thankful for that, especially now I look at the trend in sports and how people approach being a professional athlete. I got taught how to be a professional athlete the right way from the best.
Well, that's for sure. You know, you were always one of those people that I always say got it. You know, I never had to worry about, you know, you would always come up and you'd always be there for everybody. You'd sign autographs when everybody else was going to the kids and everything else. You know, and you always had a smile on your face regardless of the outcome of the game, even though I know what a tough competitor you really are.
Yeah.
So I wish there was a whole lot more of that still going on these days. That's for sure. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, though, is just, you know, going back, you know, to the Hall of Fame and everything that you've done in Oklahoma, your team went 90-22 at Southeastern. In their 112 games you were there, I mean, 80% winning percentage, and you averaged double digits in points and rebounds?
Yeah. Well, when I was in the ABL, I averaged a double-double. I led my team in scoring and rebounding the 3 years I was in the ABL. So,
I mean, a lot of people don't realize also in that big draft of 1999 that, you know, you were the number six player chosen overall ahead of the Dawn Staley's and some of these other players that, you know, are now on that list of, you know, the top 15 players that they voted for. You know, it was you that was chosen ahead of a lot of these people.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that I just got fortunate. Richie runs a very detailed system, and he's a coach that gets pieces to fit his system, and I fit his system probably better than those other people did. So I was fortunate in that aspect that my game fit into his system really well. So that right there was probably a key to me being drafted so high. But, I mean, I was Rookie of the Year in the ABL, and I was the first team all ABL every year I was there. So I think I had proven myself, and the ABL was definitely not a shabby league. There was some, you know, the bulk of the great players ended up in the ABL.
Absolutely. There's no question. The ABL, I've said all along, the ABL had better talent than the WNBA did at the beginning. Just not as good a business plan.
Yeah. So.
Well, Crystal, I know that you have been busy getting ready for the school year and bringing in the new class. So when do the freshmen arrive? Are they there?
We've already been on campus going on our fourth week.
Wow.
School started last week, last Monday, but I usually bring my kids to campus a week early, and we start our workouts, our individual workouts, and our, you know, strength and conditioning a week early so I can try to get them into my routine so it's not all thrown at them at once. So we've actually been kind of here on campus for about 4 weeks now, getting everything underway.
So what should we be expecting out of Murray State this year?
Well, we're very, very talented. I just got to get them to all, you know, one thing about this level, basketball IQ is not really high. So it takes a lot of teaching and a lot of time. We have the talent to, I think, to walk through our conference, but we got to prove it on the court first. So we're pretty talented. I expect us to be right up there with the best of them.
You know, one question that I had was, now, you know, there's always been JUCO players going up to Division I and being involved, but when you get a situation like last year when Danielle Adams goes on to Texas A&M and then leads them to a national championship, does that help you as a coach at a junior college team make it, you know, improve what people, the quality of people that you may be able to go after? Does it give a little bit more excitement to the kids thinking that they could be the next on this? Does that help you in any way?
Well, I definitely think it helps. But, you know, I think it's all about programs, the D1 program. Some D1 programs really like to bring in JUCO players because they're pretty experienced and they can come in and play right away, and then you have some that would just like to groom them up there on their own. I think it's just really the coach's job. It's my job to go out and get colleges interested in my players. So I spend a lot of time networking and trying to get people in the gym, especially, you know, keeping up with different different D1 programs and what kind of players they like and what kind of systems they run, and then, you know, get my players ready to try to fit into those systems.
Can you share with the listeners some of the programs that you've been talking to and trying to work with, or is that something you prefer to keep to yourself?
Well, I mean, I'll just give you one instance. I got a kid that I'm going to sign for next year. She won't be here this year. She's 6'6", and she's a Czech Republican kid that Baylor's really interested in. The Baylor wants to go JUCO for a year. I have a relationship with the kid, and she for sure come here next year. So her coming here to play for me gives everybody on my team an opportunity to be seen by Baylor. So that's just an instance of one school. I do work with Oral Roberts University and, you know, several other schools. But, you know, as JUCO coaches, you get a lot of calls and a lot of emails, and it's a lot of tedious work, you know. My players are going to get out of it what I put into it. I get a lot of questionnaires about players that I think may be able to play at another level. I have to take the time to fill those things out. To get them on other schools' mailing lists in their eye. So when I try to take my girls to a lot of showcase tournaments at the beginning of the year, so we'll go to Shaylin Hoop Showcase, and it'll be over 90 D1 schools there. So I just do everything I can to get them as much exposure as possible.
And now, where do you see yourself going with this as well? Now, are you interested in coaching, you know, staying in college? Are you interested in looking potentially at a pro job?
Well, I'm interested in coaching at the D1 level. I've coached at the pro level and really don't have a huge interest in it. I mean, if the right situation came along, yeah, I would love to take it just because I love this game. But overall, I want to get to the D1 level.
You know, I think that with Spoon already coaching the Louisiana Tech, I think, you know, you could very well be the next one from that group to be a D1 head coach. That would be very nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, Crystal, I want to thank you for taking time to come back on, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And
no problem.
I want to wish you the best of luck, and again, congratulations on the Oklahoma
thank you very much.
Hall of Fame.
Okay, thanks for having me.
You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.